We are the Worldwide IT Guys. This is podcast number 30, I think.
30.
Yeah, so I am John.
I'm Gavin.
This is Sean.
And we're a few members short this week. Deanna and Steve are traveling. Irk has family issues. Not issues, but obligations, so he may join later on. So we're going to do it with three of us to start out with, so we'll see how it goes.
They're dealing with transformation itself, right?
He's doing a family transformation.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess all of them are dealing with transformation in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how if his wife's water broke, he should still make the podcast,
right?
You know, because that would make good podcast material.
It's yes,
good pod. And so on.
So describe the pain you're feeling right now.
Talk into the mic.
How much do you hate your husband?
Divorce.
I have a buddy. I have a few friends that like basically almost got divorced over the birth of their kid.
Really?
You know?
Oh, really?
But I have a buddy that was like so into fantasy football, he was making trades during the delivery.
Wow.
He's like, listen, my wife said, you got to make this trade, okay? I have no running back. My wife's in labor. She's like, get off the goddamn phone.
Do you hear what you're doing to this family?
You're making the baby cry, okay?
Yeah.
You're tearing us apart. See, if I didn't know how much Dion doted on his daughter, I would have suspected he would have been one of those people. But seeing how he loves Emma so much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope to have some good stories from Dion's trip next week.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there will be.
I hope it ranks up there with like driving to Motley Crue concert because he went to a game last night late and then had a early flight morning. So
well, was it the last time he was in New York? And we can let him tell this story next week, but didn't he get really, really drunk at a bar across the street from his hotel? And like, this is the pre Uber days. It somehow ended up in a $50 cab ride.
Yeah.
Like, he just set the cab in the totally wrong direction.
Well, you know? I think the cab driver kind of took him for a ride.
And I don't know if cab drivers do that so often. I think drunk people send him in the wrong direction.
I could see Dion being very certain about where he wants to go in a cab and not taking no for an answer.
I have a friend who got, she got, like, really, really drunk one night. And somebody finds her in a lawn, picks up her phone and calls like her last number, which is my other friend. His name is Jacob. Her name is Monica.
Yep.
Jacob gets a call like, hi, I'm just calling the last number in this woman's phone. She's passed out on a lawn and I think she needs help. And he's like, oh my God, I'll be right there. Tell me your address. And he gets there and he's like, we got to get you home. And he's visiting. Jacob is visiting from out of town, so he doesn't know where Monica lives. He's like, "Where do you live?" She's like, "I live so far from here." And he's like, "All right, we're gonna get you in a cab." Okay, gets her in a cab. She says her address, and the guy goes, "She's passed out in her own lawn." Like, and she was so drunk, she didn't know she was in her own lawn.
That's amazing. Funny.
Yeah,
that's
he's like, "Okay, sir, we'll be leaving."
I have a neighbor who he's a British guy. And his wife was out of town, so a couple nights ago, he goes out for dinner, and he likes to drink a lot, and then so he walks home from the restaurant, and he gets home, and he stands at his garage door for like 45 minutes because he can't remember the code to get in his garage. He almost had to call the police to let him into his house because he couldn't remember his garage code.
I've done something similar, only like I couldn't find my keys.
Oh yeah,
and so
very hard thing to do when drunk.
Very hard, but I did have the ability to climb to the second story of my apartment building. I scaled it because I didn't have my keys to get in through the gates and everything.
You thought you were Spider-Man?
Pretty much, yeah. And then so I walked up, and I have these bars on my window. But luckily the window was open a crack, so I took a brick and I cut the screen and I crawled underneath like the security bars and then woke up the next morning in my apartment. And when I walked out to kind of figure out what was going on, I realized that my keys were just sitting like right there in front of the door the entire time. It was awesome.
And that's why
it always is that way. I've always said whenever somebody says, help me find your keys, if they're drunk, don't help them because they are on that person's person.
Right.
Yeah.
Every time.
So join us, Irk. Welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, we can hear. All right, this all worked. This was a big setup, Irk. This was This is what I spend my day on
here.
That's right. The board master is absent.
Sean was 2 seconds away from opening up a ticket with IBM to manage the board.
So we were saying that you had a family obligation, and we were saying that if your wife goes into labor, we want her to be on the podcast, and we want to broadcast it.
Yeah, that probably won't go over well, but both with us, with her, and the audience. I don't know how much we have fans of screaming women in the audience.
Sean, but, that's good pod, so I'm with him.
Do you guys already, how far along are you? Do you guys already have a plan and everything?
No.
Packed?
We still have a couple months to go.
It's a second kid. They don't really care.
Second kid. I've just been instructed that I can't bring Cheetos into the delivery room, which is what I did last time.
Like you're watching a golf tournament or something. Popping Cheetos into his, hey, what's going on in here?
That's like Junior Mints in Seinfeld.
He's got orange fingers.
I mean, the doctors, they have to go rewash. Sir, I can't. I have to re-scrub now.
Nothing that bad, but just, you know, the Cheetos are not exactly the quietest of foods.
They also don't smack, like, focus.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, we got some time. I have some prep work to get some different snacks. I'm good. I got plenty of time.
It is funny how much more laid back you are for the later kids. Like our first kid, you know, we get the ultrasound. I think Jess puts it on Facebook. It's on our refrigerator. You know, you share it.
Yeah.
Our third kid, I like went out to repair the gutters. And I just found the ultrasound for our third kid in my work coat. So I must have gone to the ultrasound at a spur of a moment, like when I was fixing the house or something. She's like, because I remember her going like, hey, do you want to come to this ultrasound? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? You know, and then I just stuffed it in there. I remember taking it out, and I was like, what the hell kind of receipt is this long? And I thought it was a receipt. And then I'm like, what the hell is this? And I realized it's Cora's ultrasound.
Oh, it's funny.
It is less meaningful, everything. You know, you feel a little guilty about that. But
yeah.
I guess it's how it has to be.
Well, I got a story on those lines, and this deals with work. Yesterday, we got an interesting request from a group in New York. We have a video that's for an ad, and when we send it through our transcoding engine, it picks a image for the thumbnail.
Uh-huh.
And the ad's about babies and children and mm-hmm. mothers and whatever. But the picture it picked for the thumbnail, if you quickly look at it, it looks like a baby's vagina. Yeah. So our
and it's really the closed eyelid of the baby, it's so super focused.
It's a baby's eye closed, but if you look at it at quick glance, it looks like a baby's vagina. I wouldn't know because I don't have a daughter, but they're all up in arms because they want us to switch the thumbnail image to a better image so people don't get disgusted.
Can
by
you
it.
Do that? Is it one of the sometimes like people don't understand that in computer programming, like when you use a tool that it's just really hard and to just change that.
We probably pick like 5 seconds in or something like that. And it just happened to be the eyelid.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the baby.
Just pick something. Yeah.
What is the process for that, Erg and Tank, if you want to replace like a specific view of an image?
In this case, we would just replace the file in the file system and clear caches.
So we
wouldn't over-engineer it. We would just have somebody give us something that's less vagina looking.
Penis.
I watched the video. I watched the video a little further, and I picked a better thumbnail, which was the woman actually breastfeeding.
I was thinking, because then I watched the video, and there's really only 1 second worth of that video that wouldn't be somebody in a state of disrobe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's a naked baby on a feeding mom. I mean, it's like, what do you expect?
You know, it's
not that I consider any of that inappropriate, but what do you think the thumbnail is going to look like?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was some kind of creepy balding guy for a second on this woman's breast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's kind of cool. Like, we have that service, Aaron, that will find, like, facial recognition stuff. There should be, like, a bad content filter or something.
There
like
is.
That. Oh, there is.
It is. Yeah, so we've been exploring a service that sort of does media transcoding for us better than we've found we can do ourselves, or at least a little less sort of hand-holding and monitoring of these sort of systems. That it's incredibly complex to sort of allow anybody to send anything at you and say, oh, I'll generate a preview from that. Sure. So we constantly are up against somebody saying, well, here's a 300 megabyte PDF, like, work with it. And they want, mm-hmm. you know, and the expectation is you generate thumbnails in split seconds. And so it's a challenge. So we've been exploring services that do this for us. And yeah, so they the one we were looking at lately is called Cloudinary, and they do have integration points with third parties that do specifically different things. And one of them is content abuse, or, you know, and so, yeah, so they'll come back with sort of an API that you can sort of say is, or the metadata of like an image will sort of say, is this appropriate content or mm-hmm. or not work appropriate content? So we could do that. And I wonder what would happen on such an image.
Cool.
That would be a fun test. Maybe that'll be the homework for next week.
Well, I know like we have email filters in our email system, and like we send out a daily breaking news of our clients and work, and one of our clients is Pfizer. So like every time we have like a news flash for Viagra or Pfizer, it gets blocked by our spam filters and no one gets breaking news that day.
I wonder if like working for them, especially like on the Viagra project, if they have like the world's most complex outbound and inbound spam rules.
They probably just use Gmail.
Or they just turn everything off, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. But every time we send Pfizer, it's blocked.
They probably don't have spam rules, so then every 6 months they just get new email addresses because, you know, an account's gotten too known on the internet.
Yeah, or maybe they call it all...
They have a code name.
They have a code name, yeah, you know, like the package or something like that. Are you guys familiar with the story of Viagra? I always found this incredibly interesting, and I think it summarizes the American healthcare system. Are you familiar with how Viagra was discovered?
Uh-uh.
So no. It was a drug that was supposed to help people with high blood pressure, and they thought it would save millions of lives. In trials, it didn't work as well as they thought. And he goes up to like his supervisor, like the lead scientist. He's like, I have devastating news. This doesn't work better than the placebo, and it has a terrible side effect. And he's like, what's the terrible side effect? People have long-standing erections. And his supervisor goes, that is the greatest news I've ever heard in the world. Do you know how much money we're going to make off that versus a heart drug? And it just shows like what a businessman's perspective is versus a scientist.
Success, you know? And failure.
Yeah. And then they immediately repackaged it as, you know, to help men with erections. And the rest is history.
Oh, that's great.
But I love going into that scientist going into his boss's office thinking he's going to deliver the worst news.
I'm
going to
get fired. Yeah. I can't help people's heart attacks. And yeah.
Realizing your boss would rather you help their boners.
Is Viagra subsidized by health insurance? If you were to go get a subscription or prescription, do you know this? But not personally, but just necessarily.
I have no idea. That's a good question. I don't know. I would think it would have to be just because it's medicine attached to your health overall, but I don't...
I have no idea.
I know it's actually really easy to get on the black market, too, because some of my buddies will take them. Like, if they want to have, like, a really long weekend with a woman or something. My one buddy has a really funny... It was almost like a Ben Stiller movie where, on his honeymoon, he decided to take a Viagra, and then he lost his wedding ring, and she was so mad with him, she just went straight to bed, and he's like, I don't know why I'm telling this on the podcast, but... he's like, I had a 10-hour erection on the couch while my new wife is in another room.
Yeah.
Pissed at me. It's like, it was the worst night of my life. Because I guess when you're young and you take them, like, it's you know, like steroids or something.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, I've got bad news for Medicare Part D participants. It is not covered any type of erectile dysfunction drug. But a lot of them do, so, or some of them do, a lot of them don't.
I could see them not wanting because A, it seems elective, and B, it could only lead to a pregnancy, which would then cost them more money too.
If it's medically necessary, they typically will. It seems.
If it's medically necessary.
So who's going to be? Who do we volunteer to contact HR and ask this question?
Wow.
I'm unhappy with our there's a little provision it's missing. It's a blue pill. That's funny.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, because birth control is covered, right?
Well, now? That saves them money, though, right? Because then they don't have to cover a pregnancy. But Viagra could cost them money because then they could have a pregnancy, right? Like, I think anything that'll save them money, they'll gladly cut. Like, I know, like, I had a vasectomy. And that was like almost 100% covered.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think my vasectomy was like amazingly cheap in terms of like health insurance. Like, I think it was like I can take my family to see the movies for it would cost more money than my vasectomy cost. Because I think the health insurance is like gladly. I mean, this kid has already had 3 kids.
And he's Irish.
In 7 years.
And he's Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish. Like, they have an algorithm. Right. They're like, yes.
Yes,
double
yes.
Covered. Catholic, yes. Yeah,
tell them we'll give him $200 cash to do it. So I think a lot of it is they look at the long term. Like, I think that's why, like, you know, like, I know, like, anything that has to do with your heart, medicine is always covered because they don't want you to have a heart attack and then you're in the ER for.
It's like the leading cause of death for anything.
Should we roll into maybe women's health now?
Yes.
I've been waiting.
Women's health.
Yeah. And this segues into my actual topic. This past week, a 19-year-old girl from Green Bay, Wisconsin, is being credited for bringing down Donald Trump at a town hall meeting because she basically asked a question, how do you feel about women's health and abortion? Mm-hmm. And this young girl has, you know, basically did what every Republican could not do. And by asking that one simple question, which made Trump basically falter and go back and forth. I mean, they're saying it could ruin his campaign.
Mm-hmm. Is this the question where he answered? Well, the question was, do you think women should be punished who have an abortion? Like, you know, if it's illegal, if you... You know, abolish abortions. If a woman had it, would it be punishable offense? Is this that one where he sort of waffled on it and said yes?
But they're totally saying that one question by this 19-year-old college girl is going to bring him down.
How wasn't this already asked of him, though? I mean, this
that's
it frustrates me to all ends how much abortion is talked about in our campaign trail. But, like, it's talked about in every, you know, I feel like every open debate.
So he was mad after that town hall. He's like, how did she get into my town hall and ask that question?
Why wasn't there a wall around the town?
Exactly. And she got invited by her college professor. So, you know, she was there because she wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought to herself, what question hadn't been asked yet?
Yeah, sure.
And no one has covered that topic in the campaign yet. So she just asked it.
What's funny, though, is it highlights what a lot of Trump's supporters liked about him, where he's totally off the cuff. He doesn't speak like a politician. But, like, that's policy-wise, that's what Ted Cruz would say. You know, I mean, but he would word it differently because he's
right.
He wouldn't allow himself to be pinned down the way Trump did, you know. But, yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing about Trump. Like, as he gets to a bigger and bigger stage, you can't just keep talking. You can't just keep shooting from the hip all the time.
Right.
Eventually, he's going to catch up to you.
It's amazing how many policy, you know, platforms or positions he hasn't actually thought about until he's on the spot. Like, that's just kind of amazing.
Well, I heard today his campaign team is only like 5 people.
Yeah.
He does not have a staff.
He's a straight shooter.
He's doing all by himself. He does not have a staff.
Don't have a speechwriter. Don't have a pollster. Shoots from the hip.
Yeah, so.
Love it.
What were you saying? You said he finally released his plan for the wall. What's
so,
that?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it
yet. A couple
yet.
Other things this week with him. So he plans to build a wall on the border of United States and Mexico. And his plan is how he's going to do it. He found out that most Mexican-Americans who come over from Mexico that work in the United States send billions of dollars back to Mexico for their families.
Okay.
So he's saying, why don't we just block, you know, Western Union and all the transactions.
Block the wires.
And basically put the people in Mexico, make them suffer by not getting money until the government of Mexico agrees to pay, you know, a one-time $10 billion you know, fee so we can build the wall. And then we'll open up the transactions
so,
again.
So much of his policy sounds like straight up racketeering.
Yeah. You
know? Like, it'll be a shame if somebody, you know, just stood outside your bank and threatened all your customers, you know, and you lost all your customers. You know, if you paid me, I could avoid that. You know, I could.
So, you know, stop Western Union at the border, not allow it to go through, and make the families suffer until they pay.
Sort of like take all the electronic lines and almost like you do with a garden hose, you put it in a circle and then you wait for them to
put a little kink in it. Yeah.
Wait for them to pony up the dough.
Have any of you guys tried to send money internationally? I actually looked into this week because we have a developer who needed sort of an expense reimbursement and we got around it with the normal work expense stuff. But for a minute it was looking like we had to go through, you know, third party like PayPal or,
yeah.
And it's, you know, the modern cash transfer in America is much easier right now. You can mobile stuff. I don't know if you guys use Venmo or PayPal or the different things, but it's super easy. It's generally free. But internationally, it's a pain in the butt. There's still not great systems for this, and, like, there's a million of them.
Well, Western Union is incredibly expensive. They take, like, some, like, I think they take advantage of these illegal immigrants. Well, yeah, because if you're an illegal immigrant, you don't have access to as many, like, on-the-grid tools as we do if we wanted to send internationally. So they go to, like, Western Union basically doesn't ask questions. You do cash to whatever you want. But I think Western Union takes, like, something like 10%.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty high. And then there's a service fee on top of that as well. It's almost predatory, in my opinion. But, yeah, it's really expensive to send money back home.
Well, PayPal's the same way. They take a chunk out every transaction.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They do take a chunk internationally, I think. Although somebody was telling me not person to person. When it's like credit card stuff, it gets a little different. But
Well, I use PayPal for some T-shirts I make every year. And they usually take like $25, and they'll take maybe $2 out of it.
Off an international one?
Never international.
Oh, never international,
it's
though.
All domestic. Could be different.
Well, we'll see. It's a plan.
Yeah, it's a start. He's got a platform.
And you said Gavney announced another plan to eliminate the debt?
Well, John was telling me about this one, and it reminded me of something that our city did. And I think, John, you were saying that Trump's plan basically to help our $19 trillion deficit is to start selling off government assets and what sounds like kind of like a fire sale. And it just, like, I didn't even get too deep into it, but it just totally reminded me of, like, the short-term budget fix like that our city did of selling our, what do they call it, the roadside parking meters.
The parking meters, we sold the Skyway, sold the Skyway Bridge, we sold everything. You know?
And he's saying that, like, we have so many, like, unused buildings.
Yeah.
We're just going to start selling buildings to people. And we're going to start selling land. We have, you know, all this real estate. So he says that we're going to
sell Wyoming straight up.
We're going to sell off Alaska. We don't need it. Oh, there's oil up there. We may keep that
one. It's just a staging ground for the Ruskies anyway.
Exactly. But it's funny. They did a fact check. And they're like, Mr. Trump, we only have $2.1 trillion in assets. But he says we have like $50 trillion. He thinks if he sells them, I mean, he's a good businessman. He's a good salesman.
Or we could just come up with like a budget because our GDP is like $13 trillion a year or something like that, and slowly pay it back over time. Either one. I don't know.
That sounds like socialist talk.
That's
I don't know.
Sorry. Just feeling the burn over here.
Yeah, but that's all the Trump talk I have.
That's good.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens after the state of Wisconsin. Saved us last night.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the convention. It's going to be pretty awesome.
So last week we spoke to, is there any news on this? Last week you guys, were any of you here last week?
I listened to it this morning, so I know what you're talking about.
So there was talk of, Sean, you're headed to the convention. Dion's driving you in the Camaro.
Yep.
Has there been progress on this front?
You know what? I'm going to email that guy right now. While we're on air, and I'll see if I can get press passes.
Deion's up for it. It's, you know, he's ready to go. He'll be your cameraman.
I mean, he's going to have to get approval at home first to do this. I can't see this happening.
My wife, I did bring it up with my wife, and she does not want me going. She doesn't think it's going to be safe. She thinks something's going to happen.
No, mm-hmm. guns are not allowed. No,
but she thinks it's going to be like the 68th Democratic Convention where it's basically going to be rioting.
Right.
And
the protests are going to be insane outside.
Yeah,
of it.
She thinks it's like just going to be that she'll just be worried constantly because it's going to be a state of chaos, you know.
I feel
worst
like
case scenario, campaign manager punches you in the face. You get a little bit of a black eye.
Rich. You sue him.
I mean, and I told her, I'm like, babe, nobody died in the 68 convention. You know, I mean, a couple people got their heads busted by the cops.
Sure.
Yep. You know, right. But, you know, you're back
nice
at work.
Nice payout.
You're back at work 2 days later. You know?
Right.
So, no big deal.
But we're talking about it in the room that they have to have like a C-SPAN, like 24/7 camera, like, broadcast of the convention,
right?
Because that'd be amazing, just like,
yeah,
being able to watch it all the time. I bet it'd be the highest ratings of anything on television.
And they gotta do it where they lock the doors and nobody leaves until they have a decision made or something like that. And it
like
seems like it's increasingly
Pope,
almost
right?
like a jury room. Yeah,
yeah. And it looks like it's definitely gonna come to a you know, Trump is definitely not. He's going to have to win 64% of the remaining delegates, and his like average has been like 48% or 50% of all the delegates that he's won so far when he's been crushing it. And now that his campaign is limping a little bit, it looks like it's pretty much guaranteed he will not get to the magic number. So
yeah,
this is happening. Johnny got to be there.
They should make a pay per view. I mean, people will pay for this.
He is in the WWF Hall of Fame,
right?
Is he really?
Get McMahon in there.
Yeah, they put everyone in their Hall of Fame though. It's like basketball.
So we have that expression, you know, if a developer is hit by a bus, what sort of domain knowledge is he going to take with him? For you, Sean, we'll have, if a developer goes to the convention, you know, what domain knowledge will he take with him when he gets, you know,
over it? All right, I just sent that email to my press contact in Cleveland. We will see.
Press contact in Cleveland. You know, I have a press contact, but it's in Cincinnati, and it's just, they're not as good.
We'll see what happens. Well, if we want, like, speaking on government, did you guys get to this last week about how the FBI withdrew its request to Apple because they cracked it anyways? Because
no,
I found that kind of – I just feel that's such a hilarious response. It's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, forget I asked.
Yeah, forget about that whole debate.
You go
started.
To the judge, forget this ever happened. We're totally cool. Like, you know, you're like, why? You know? In the whole scheme of things, Your Honor, is this a big deal? I don't know. I'd like to just forget about everything. It's just so suspicious.
Yeah.
Well, and Snowden had said that from day one. He's like, I know the NSA can do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if legally they're not allowed to talk to the NSA. And yeah, it's just interesting.
I think they hired some third party.
Well, the rumors are they hired an Israeli security firm that
right.
did it.
Yeah.
But then there were people online that say you didn't even need to do that. Like, apparently, you can take, if you have a big enough budget, you can take the flash memory out, and they have like these duplicator machines, and you can actually just, flash memory is so cheap now that if you have a big enough budget, you can just immediately clone it to like
yeah.
1,000 duplicates and then just start brute forcing it
right
over all the clones.
I think it'd be funny if they realized that it was just like a matter of holding down three buttons at the same time.
Like the,
go to restore mode.
For 5 seconds, and it just goes into some mode that you can see everything.
Well, it would seem they are that bumbling, because didn't somebody just like spill coffee on the original phone or something stupid?
Well,
or
I know they reset the password before they were supposed to, which put it in a weird state. But yeah, it would be hilarious if they are. I'm convinced the NSA is that bumbling. Like, I'm convinced they have like the world's greatest scientists working there, and they've cracked every encryption. But then I feel like they've collected so much data that they just have to hire all these bumbling sort of analysts that can't find their way through it. And I'm guessing I really feel that if you were to work at the NSA, it's probably a bunch of shitheads just listening to sex talk and other stuff they've randomly picked up. And I really don't feel they're doing anything with that much data.
Snowden did say that. They would, like, pass around stuff, like, here, check this out, and But I guess, what is it, their TAO group, like TAO, or I don't know, I forget what it is, but they do have like a couple units within their like offensive and defensive operations that are supposed to be like really just like right up there with some of the Israeli teams.
Oh, I know the best of their best is like amazing, but then yeah. I know one guy at NSA actually got convicted in like a public court of law because he was using it for dating.
Oh, really?
It's like... Like when he was in Florida, he was like
cheating,
you know, like when he would like figure out who would be compatible with him, yeah. And then he would like say, you know, it's almost like Ciro de Bergerac or something like that, where you have somebody telling you what to say in your ear, you know, like he would say without her giving anything about her background, and maybe she's a divorcee with three kids. Like, I would just love to have kids. Like, oh my God, if I could meet a woman with three kids,
yeah,
and she'd be like, oh my God, you know, like he was using all this.
This is all like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I can't wait for the eHarmony NSA integration to happen. It's gonna be awesome.
And I wonder if there's a dude, like, I'm such a conspiracy theorist. I wonder if there's a dude that's, like, listening to Bill Belichick's phone for, like, betting advice, you know? Or not betting advice, but, like, oh, dude, Tom Brady is not healthy for this week, yeah. You know? Like, yeah.
Well, I would use it for evil like that, too.
Do we have any transition talk?
I don't know. It's kind of...
It's been more of the same for me, you know.
Yeah,
know.
Unfortunately, we don't have Dion here. But like I said, after a couple of days in New York, we should have some good stories from the front.
He did make it to New York. I was put on a weird sort of video call today on mute, but I could hear everything going on in the room, and Dion was there, loud as usual. So from Blackhawks game last night to an early morning flight to New York, he made it.
He made it.
I hope he pulled an all-nighter.
Might have. That's better. If I fall asleep now, I'll miss that flight.
Exactly. We did that in college for spring break.
I gotta stay up. Yeah, we
gotta
do that all the time.
Let's just do it. We'll rally.
I will tell you this. It was a lot easier to do that before 9/11 security. It is much harder to board a plane drunk than it used to be.
Thanks, terrorism.
Yeah.
What else haven't they ruined?
So, John, you had a couple other topics.
I brought up the whole thing this week about Microsoft considering integrating Starbucks into Outlook.
Oh, I thought that was official. It's going to happen. Where, yeah, you can book a table.
You can book
at
a table.
Starbucks and order your drink before you show up, all through Outlook.
Yes, through Outlook client. And thank God that we share a cloud with Starbucks already.
That's true. Maybe we could do that.
So maybe we did it for them.
Are you familiar with that story, Eric?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Our old version before Office 365. Microsoft wasn't
give
quite
our
as...
listeners a little background.
Oh yeah. So for our listeners, before Microsoft, its early implementation of the cloud, we were one of the first adopters, and apparently Starbucks,
large adopters anyway.
Yeah, Starbucks also adopted, and we were looking to basically automate licensing users. We came up with our own app. We're like, does anybody have an example of this? Starbucks had a Visual Basic app that did it at the store level. Like, oh, is there any way we could, you know, just see the actual licensing transaction? And Microsoft was kind enough to send us the full app with the credentials in it. So for a short while, I have no idea if it worked. I never tried it. We had Starbucks cloud credentials.
Did you ever tell them?
What? I did tell them. I was like, just FYI, yeah. Credentials in here, and it's the full app, yeah. Which I don't know.
We can get free coffee for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. If Sean at Starbucks.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. That is more integrated than what you see on like Facebook and Twitter with that kind of stuff, though. I think it's kind of cool. Outlook isn't the tool I would want to do that kind of stuff on. I would rather it be on something like Facebook or Twitter or Gmail.
That's why they're doing it, is because Facebook is now playing around with like an Uber integration.
Yeah, I suppose that, yeah.
So they're trying to grasp what they can integrate with, and I guess
what would Facebook do with Uber? You like through their Messenger or like just
Well, my
on the
guess
go,
would be like if you went to like your Facebook event, you could maybe just click hail an Uber and it would hail an Uber for your current location, tell the driver where you're going. And that would be my guess. I don't know for sure, but that would be my guess, is they would integrate it with your calendar to get you places, but I really have no idea. I do feel Facebook sometimes does needless integrations.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, why wouldn't I just go to the goddamn app and do this, you know?
But did you guys see how I posted this week a picture of what I thought was the first Amazon brick-and-mortar bookstore?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
I don't know what their plan is, whether it's, you know, grand, you know, or just a test sort of.
Well, now that they killed them all off, they can reintroduce physical books at whatever price they want.
Yeah, totally. I didn't get to go in, unfortunately. It was a little bit too early for the store to open, but like I wonder, you know, how do they, you know, Kindle, they're pushing Kindle left and right. Like how does the physical bookstore deal with that? Can you download right from there, you know?
There's an amazing New Yorker article about Amazon 2 years ago. It's sort of what generated that New York Times report on how terrible it is to work there and so on. But are you familiar with why Amazon started as a book?
No.
Jeff Bezos, is that the guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he basically calculated that was the product that had the highest middleman markup for books. So that's why it started. He always had the vision of selling everything online. Mm. And he just realized books would be the best toehold because that had the highest middleman cost. And then apparently he would go to all these like book collector fairs and like sort of like sell his product. And everyone was like, how are you going to make money off this? Because your markups aren't high enough. And he's like, oh, we're just going to, and this is the New Yorker, so this isn't like a conspiracy theory type thing. He's like, we're just going to collect all the data. Mm-hmm. And then when we start selling more products, we're going to be able to target focus so much that the customer becomes the product. And that was amazing that he had he knew from day one, the current way Amazon works is exactly how he envisioned it 20 years ago, which is kind of amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of like the Tesla announcement. Just like it's amazing when a plan like that, when someone thinks that long term, that it actually comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't aware. I'm only a casual Tesla observer, but you know, the Model 3 came out, and I guess like, so Musk wrote this like blog post in 2006 outlining, we're going to make a high-end, low-volume car that's going to pave the way for a mid-range, you know, whatever, mid-price car, and then we're going to create a high-volume, you know, low-end model, and then, you know, that's, it just went step by step by step. And then it worked. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But I heard some guys talk in the train today about the Tesla, and they're like, yeah, they advertise as $35,000, but after you get all the computers in it and all the things that you want in a Tesla, it's like $55,000.
Oh, really?
It's like, I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, I feel that's kind of true for a lot of cars, though. It's like when you see the commercial, they always give you the baseline model.
It has the tape deck that you'll never use.
Yeah, and then when you go into the dealer, they never even have that model in stock.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, well, we have the better model, and it has leather seats and automatic doors. And
right.
That's actually one of the reasons I liked – I own a Mazda, and one of the things I liked about that purchasing experience was – I was kind of looking between a Subaru and a Mazda, and Subaru lets you customize every knob on the car. So when you go into a shop, it's exactly like that. We don't have anything that has your specification. You have to pay, you know, what we have in stock is this, and you know, you're going to get the rear view mirror with the compass in it, whether you want it or not, because that's what's here. And so you'll pay for that. But the Mazda was basically like, we have two editions. We have like, you know, the base edition and the high-end edition. And that was it. There was no, at least for me and not being a car person, I was just like, I want this or that. And I didn't took away all the customization of it.
Yeah, that's nice. I used a website, which I loved, which I would recommend to anyone out there who's looking to buy a car. I think it was called TrueCar.com.
TrueCar.com?
TrueCar.com, is that it? But it gives you binding quotes from dealers that are 72 hours binding. So you just go into the dealership, and it'll give you like 15 quotes, and you just go into the dealership, and you hand them. It's like walking in with the deed, like, I want it, and you just drive out with it. And there's like no haggling.
Really?
It's awesome. Yeah, that's how I got my minivan. It was great. It was the best experience. Yeah, is that what it is, TrueCar.com?
Well, I've heard that website exists. I'm
advertised
on it,
a lot.
I thought you were required to have a Subaru if you lived in Oregon.
Yeah. Well, I live in Washington, which is similar.
Oh, Washington.
Yeah, it is TrueCar.com. You're right.
They're quite a bit of them. There's a lot of Mazdas out here too. You know what? What sold me, or lack of what didn't sell me on the Subaru is I really, in theory, I was like all-wheel drive, man. It makes so much sense. But I couldn't justify like the lack of gas mileage that I would get by all-wheel drive. I'm not on the mountain slope in snow, you know. And so but they're similar. The car that I have, the Mazda 3 and one of the Subarus, the smaller Subaru, are pretty similar. Although with my expanding family, we'll see if I need to
get a minivan.
Yeah, that's right. Melissa would like a minivan.
Get a minivan, dude. They're the best.
I know. We have a few of you that just love that Honda.
I love it, man. Yeah.
I have a friend that lives in Oregon, and in the state of Oregon, you can't pump your own gas.
Oh, yeah, that New Jersey. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not sure if you've ever experienced that before. Yeah. But so she has a Volkswagen Sport Wagon, and it's a diesel. So she pulls in the station. The guy comes out, and she's like, diesel, please. And the guy's like, diesel. And she's like, yes. And, you know, so the guy pumps it up, and she pays and starts the car up, and it just goes dead.
Oh, he didn't pump diesel.
He pumped regular into her diesel engine, and it basically just...
I thought they were different. I thought it wouldn't fit. Oh, no, I think regular fits into diesel,
yes.
But diesel won't fit into regular.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's designed to protect the common stupid person, but the truck driver can still screw himself.
Right.
Yeah, 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 because the diesel one's bigger, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, so the smaller one will fit, yeah.
Yeah, so that was an expensive.
Oh, man.
Had to have it towed out of there and everything like that, so.
Do you tip those people? This is my problem with that, is like I hate tipping, just because I don't mind giving people money if they do a good job, but like just when you tip versus when you don't tip, what's appropriate just drives me crazy.
You think it should be baked into the price?
Yeah. I think yes, and I guess I've heard that that's somewhat of a trend of newer or more popular restaurants now. Some restaurants are getting away of, you know, tips. They just bake it in.
Yeah, right. I went to a brand new brewery last night that was that way. They wouldn't even let me give a tip.
We won't accept
the tip. You can't do it. We've taken care of all the employees. Our prices reflect that.
You can buy them beers usually. Like
this place wouldn't even allow me to do that. You know,
I know a brewery that does that, and they basically say, okay, we don't accept tips, but we like beer, so buy us a beer, and we'll put it on our tabs. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually that's done in a way like they're not saying you need to do it or anything like that. Yeah.
But, Irk, the one thing that pisses me off is when I have to pay to pee.
Oh, with bathroom attendants, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely hate bathroom attendants.
Yeah. Well, see, because I do stand-up comedy at night.
Yes.
So I'll sometimes do 4 shows on a night, and sometimes I have a bathroom attendant, which means I'm walking by this
and you're
guy.
Playing, you're
and I'm
you're
drinking
classy,
free beer.
And you're at a classy place, too.
Yeah. So I'm walking by this guy like 5 times a night. So I just learn to just walk straight by this guy. And because you know what's funny is they will swoop into your hand washing transaction with soap, like with towels. Like they'll try and insert themselves.
Start giving you a squirt of soap.
In order to get a tip. You know, because like a lot of people are just like, okay, cool. I'm just not going to use him and then I don't have to tip. But he hovers around. And I mean, he's almost like a dad washing a kid's hands or something like that. Like, so I'm now very comfortable just not tipping them, but I do hate that.
Yeah, I feel like a dick when I just walk out.
Yeah, but it's like I feel it's kind of a prick move for the, and it's never at like a really super fancy place. It's usually at like kind of a Euro trash club that thinks it's fancy. I feel when you see a bathroom attendant.
I want to know what places you're playing that have bathroom attendants, really.
The comedy bar used to have a bathroom.
Are you
attendant.
Serious?
Yeah, because it turns into a club at night after the show. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I never smell better than when I use bathroom attendants, you know, bathrooms, because you got to take the spray of Hugo Boss or whatever.
if you are tipping, you should use the whole works. I want it all.
I just collect all of the colognes. I just sample them all. You know,
the mints.
Come out smelling real good. Yeah. I hope the tipping trend continues, or the lack of tipping trend.
Well, that's how it is in Europe, I always understand, right? You know, nobody tips in Europe.
Is that true? I mean, I feel like it's just, who knows?
I'm guessing, well, all I know is all people I know in the service industry always hate getting European customers because Europeans never tip.
Yes.
So I assume that's a consequence of tips not happening in Europe. But I don't know. Maybe Europeans are just assholes.
my favorite thing about Uber is you just walk right out of the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's great.
I'm tipping you for this 30-second ride because traffic sucked. Like, no.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what else do we have? We had, John, you were talking about in Chicago, there's a new ordinance that
yeah,
they're floating.
Yeah, so I thought of this today at lunch because we were sitting at our our usual lunch spot on Wednesdays, and there was a female at the bar who she was trying to get into entertainment industry. As Gavin laughs. Yeah. And she appeared to be maybe a stripper.
Okay.
And this came up in the news this week that the city that we live in is trying to pass an ordinance so that you can now drink alcohol beverages and have full nudity or actual partial nudity. Because I think the ordinance is now is that if, you know, they show nudity, you can't drink alcohol, which is, I would think in our city, you know, is a loss of money.
Not to mention un-American.
It is un-American.
It's interesting. The different, I remember my first ever IT project was in, I used to work for Ernst & Young, and it was in Dallas. And Dallas doesn't allow strip clubs
yes.
to sell liquor either. The state, I don't know if it's state or city, but it can be BYOB.
I have the same story when I was in consulting in the state of Ohio, but go on and I'll tell yeah. you my story.
So, which is, it's like, we can't serve liquor. That's too dangerous. We'll do BYOB.
We name jugs of grain times. Alcohol. Just.
Dallas is also an open carry state.
Oh, God.
But yeah, people would just load up, you know, coolers. They had a dimension rule.
Okay.
They had a dimension rule. You couldn't bring in a cooler that was like more than like 2 feet by 4 feet, but you whatever liquor you could fit in a 2x4 area, you could just bring into a strip club.
I can imagine like the big coolers with like the handles and the wheels on them and someone just rolling in. And
I'm sure they probably, like the way you have carry-on luggage, and I'll bet you in Dallas grocery stores, they probably had like a strip club-approved dimension cooler that just maximized everything.
It has a little spout on the side.
Yeah. Oh, you just fill it up with pure vodka.
Yeah.
One guy brings vodka. You did the same thing in Ohio?
Yeah, exactly. So we went to this place. It was BYOB. So you had to pay to get in. You pay like $15 cover charge just to get in. You bring your own alcohol. But then you give it to the bartender who puts it in a fridge, and you have to – he gives you tickets. So you have to basically
– tip every time you want
to
get it.
You have to buy back your own alcohol from the bartender that's a BYOB place.
Yeah, that's great. And they probably keep it if you don't finish it.
Exactly. I'm sure you don't finish your beer, and they – just put in, you know, take it home.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't care what they do with strip clubs. I'm always like, who cares about this legislation? Who cares what's happening in strip clubs?
I mean, Trump should.
Trump should, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
But there's always people like, no, no, we can't allow that. And then there's people like, yeah, yeah, we have to. And it's like, who cares? Like,
Does your tune change since you are the only one here who has a daughter? You have a daughter. She becomes an exotic dancer. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt there, the naming.
Yeah.
Does your tune change then?
No, not at all. And having a daughter wouldn't – I always felt that was a cop-out. I have a lot of friends who go like, well, now that I have a daughter, I feel differently. It's like, well, why did it take you having a daughter
right.
to actually think about the repercussions to women? You know? I mean, why did you have to own a woman before you thought about women? Not that you own your daughter. I don't mean it that way, but I'm trying that. I feel that's how they feel it is.
Right.
No, I mean, I don't really give a fuck what happens inside strip clubs, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like they're so self-contained and there's so much security inside a strip club that who cares?
Right. Gavin, any
well,
comments?
No, none. I can look forward to next week when we check back in on our sexual harassment training that we're going to brush up on and learn some feminism. So,
speaking of trainings, I believe there was some training I was supposed to do by March 31st that I came and went.
Is that the personal conduct training? Or is that just me? I'm getting emails about something like that.
I really
don't remember. It was something sent by the CFO. Oh well,
I think
I'll dig it up.
It accidentally.
Personal
it wasn't something
conduct.
Oh, professional.
It wasn't.
Conduct?
It wasn't as fun as personal. Yeah, it wasn't fun like that. There was no HR involvement. I think it was data security or something a bit more like, you know, don't write passwords on Post-it notes.
Oh, well, the data security one I took was hilarious.
They all are hilarious.
Remember, it was like this. It was animated videos of this employee that was the most naive. Sort of accept. He was like, "Oh, I've got an email," and it was like a weird voice. "I've got an email from Fran. I don't remember Fran, but he says I should open up this executable attachment."
That's so patronizing.
Yeah, it was so hilarious. Like, and he's like, and then like the remember like in the animation, the entire network would then go dark when he opens it up.
I had a friend's mom this week. I told some of these guys a story. My friend calls me. He's like, "Hey, my mom, she kind of clicked a couple links. She probably wasn't supposed to. Didn't know she did. And next thing you know, she has ransomware on her computer. And she called the number and gave her credit card to the people a couple times." He's like, "What should I do?" And I'm like, "Well, oof. The first thing you do, you probably cancel the credit card right away."
Yeah.
But I've never dealt with ransomware and how to get rid of it, but... I think at that point,
I think if it's truly ransom, I think this is what I always tell my dad, who can't really defend himself on the internet. I always say, you need to buy something like Crash Plan, like an online backup utility, and just accept that you are going to be the victim of a virus or something, and then you just restore from yesterday's backup. And maybe you lose a day of work. And he's like, "Whoa, if I lose a day..." I'm like, "Dad, you write political theories on Facebook and post pictures of your grandkids. I mean, you're retired. You're not doing anything."
Can we get him at the convention as well?
I could get him at the convention. He hates Trump, though, but...
That would be good.
I think that's... To me, like, I think that's the advice all... I almost feel like Medicare should give them a $10 crash plan.
Yeah,
account, because they're going to become a victim. There's, I don't know what it is about old people. You know what it is? They're just too accepting, because they come from a life where you always dealt with a vendor and it was his business. Like, I can't remember how many times I'd been in Walmart and my dad would be like, "Well, I need to see the manager because he's about to lose a customer," and like the cashiers were like, "I don't even know who my manager is." You know, we lose thousands of customers a day. You know. And they're just, they have that, I feel they have that naivety and trust. They're like, "Oh, this guy wants to give me a free product. Well, why don't I, you know, look
into
I'll this?"
Click
you
and
know?
Download it. Yeah, my parents, their financial advisor wanted to send their statements in PDF form.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has like, he calls me one night, he's like, "John, they told me to download Adobe Reader, and I just paid $500 for it." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Dad, what'd you buy?" He's like, "I bought Adobe Creative Suite that included Adobe Reader." So I had to do the call of shame to Adobe, like, "Okay, my dad called and bought your suite. Can you please refund him?" Because that's not
either
what...
Either that or he's got to start moonlighting as a graphic designer.
So now he's doing graphic design. Yeah, exactly. So that was a bad call.
I had one thing on transition that might be funny, just because, well, this is more a point than a whole thing, but 2 weeks ago, Irk, you probably didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast, but we were talking about how IBM is an interesting company who we're transitioning IT services to, because we always deal with the level one techs, and God love them, they... always seem confused about basic networking concepts, and it always takes forever to get a ticket solved. God bless their hearts. And we were saying, like, IBM's an interesting company because you have that going on at level one, but then we were looking into, like, there was a guy at IBM that developed teleportation in the 1990s, and we were floating the idea of assigning all our tickets to him because he still works for IBM. And today they just bought Resilient Systems, which one of my favorite blogs on the internet is Shiner on Security, Bruce on Security. Have you ever read that blog?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. He's great. He was one of the original guys behind RSA and SHA encryption. He used to teach at MIT, and he's a great author too. And he has like a lot of great points on his blog. He actually is very interesting because he compares like the security problems we have to they're basically classic security problems. We think they're all new, but it's the same problem a count in the Middle Ages had about whether his letter was authentic or not, and so on. But anyways, his company was just bought by IBM, and he is now an IBM employee. So maybe the next time we have these network problems, we can ask for Bruce Schneier to be on the call. I just think it'd be hilarious once the directories are integrated to just invite him.
Well,
won't have access to their directory.
I don't think so.
No, probably not. Yeah.
But the big directory initiative is going to happen like this week. I think Steve posted something on our group channel that it's live and it's going to happen. So
this is that reminds me, a buddy of mine works for GE, and a while back when NBC Universal, whatever, was owned partially by GE or something.
No, it was
like
NBC.
That.
David Letterman used to make fun of him all the time. He got in trouble for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my buddy would, you know, they did this full integration, and then all of a sudden, you know, he just started using their chat tool and looking up the directory, and like he'd be like, "I'm gonna IM Tina Fey right now because she's an NBC employee." So he just starts IMing pretty much all of these, you know, celebrities, and you know, gets nothing back. But to your point, maybe, you know, your security guru will show up at some point.
I just think it'd be so great for him to join the call. And you're like, Bruce, what we think here is there's a fire. Are you familiar with firewall, Bruce? We think there's a firewall that is blocking. That means it's traffic isn't allowed through on your end, Bruce.
If you need some backup, we got Watson's address too. We can bring him out. <that. laughs>
Watson, could we invite Watson?
So what's scary about that is, you know, in our new hosting facility, they have a deny all from box to box on network traffic. So each application talking to each other application within the same data center will have to go through this struggle of IBM learning what a firewall poke is. And it sounds horrific.
Yeah, our network calls have been something else, you know. And it's what's interesting is there's always some gatekeeper on the so usually this is every call I've been on, and I don't know if this is good podcast material or not, but it's our developers, IBM's developers, and then a couple network guys on both sides of the fence. IBM on our side of the fence, internal network, IBM on their side of the fence, IBM intranet. And usually, every time, it's the developers on both ends going, this is exactly the problem. It is this host. It is this ACL. If you fix that, we are all good. And it is the network teams on either side going, I'm not seeing that. And then it's basically an hour of the developers suggesting, are you sure you're looking at the right thing? And they're like, I totally am. And then like at the minute 58, you hear, wait a minute, by the network person, I see the problem. And it's exactly what we said at minute one of the meeting every time. And there's like only so many ways you can ask somebody, are you positive you're looking at the right thing?
Brutal.
Yeah. It'd be, yeah.
What was it this week we were dealing with? You know, we can't get real-time data because of network problems, so we're going to substitute real-time data to, emailing me maybe daily.
That was a good
spreadsheets.
That was a good
awesome.
The project manager at one point is like, I tell you what, why don't we email a CSV once a week, and that'll be easier.
That's the future of the cloud.
I'll do it. I will personally email you the CSV once a week. You know, I'll set myself a calendar appointment.
We could set up an email to fax service. So this email account, then fax it to your office. Yeah. Get some OCR software that scans
it
into the directory
and reads it.
Yeah. Yep. We have this robot that runs off Watson. He can pick up the papers. He will run to the copy machine.
We could probably teleport the email over.
Maybe the teleportation guy could teleport. But firewall poke, impossible.
Can't do it.
That cannot be part of our final solution. Well, I feel like we've been pretty close to an hour here. Do we have any last minute? John, do you have any vendor scum to end us on?
I do. Actually, this one came from a listener today, which I thought this was great. Let me pull it up here. So the vendor basically emailed him and wanted to talk to him about their solutions, but he outlined every bullet point he wanted to talk about. So number one, speak about your current organization needs and pains. 3 minutes.
Oh, number two, time estimate.
Speak about how you're currently tackling those needs and pains. 3 minutes. Number three, understand if there is a fit to potentially work together. 1 minute.
Wow.
Number four, if there is, schedule a demo or perform a brief demo right away. 10 minutes for that. Number five, Q&A and action items. 3 minutes.
That's amazing.
Is that amazing that this person?
Oh,
what's the grand sum? I wasn't keeping track. How much is this call talking?
17, 20 minutes. 20 minute call.
Oh, man.
So I want 20 minutes of your time, Rich. And let's see what
we're at 3 minutes. We got to move on.
Yeah, exactly. Done. Next topic.
One of the things I love about the vendor scum segment is it. I feel like it's almost like if you were to go to a boat show or a car show and you see all the different interpretation that these crazy people have done. Because, like, they all have such different takes on unsolicitedly taking away your time.
Right.
You know, like it's just amazing that every week there's a totally new, fresh take. And this guy's like, I'm going to take away from your time, but I'm going to tell you exactly how many minutes I'm going to take away.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to take 20 minutes of your life that you'll never get back, and this is what we're going to talk
about.
But
we have an itinerary. A lot of these assholes you're talking to, they're using, you know, flashes and sales tactics, and you don't know how long that call's going to take.
Exactly. This guy's 20 minutes.
I'm 20 minutes.
And I'm done.
Structured.
Somebody's going to come along with a 19-minute vendor spiel. I'm just going to blow him out.
Just blow this guy out.
That's what you should do. Reply with. I can give you 1 minute for this, 30 seconds for this, and just make him talk like the old micro machine guy.
I have 18 minutes. Where can we cut 2 minutes out? Can we take?
I've got another bid for 17 minutes coming in. You're gonna have to trim some more.
Shave this to 15 minutes, and you got yourself a phone call, pal.
Oh, that's good. So, you want to add on that?
Yeah, I think that is the podcast.
Well, thanks for joining, Irk. Good to see you, and we'll see you next week.
Next week in the flesh.
Will you be here for the podcast in person on Wednesday?
Oh, I will. Steve wouldn't have it any other way.
Truth.
So, we are the Worldwide IT Guys at
www.itguys.com
or on Twitter, Worldwide IT Guys,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yep.
We didn't talk about NFL and Twitter. Oh, next time.
Next time.
I'm sure Dion will have an opinion on that. I'm sure his TV
I wonder if his football button works.
Yeah,
online.
His football button works on his TV.
He's only going to be pissed it wasn't Periscope.
All right, we're out. Thanks.
We're out. Thanks.
Later.